Would you turn with me, please, to Matthew 5? Now, I'm not creating a new doctrine, not trying to stir up any controversy. But when we talk about the Sermon on the Mount, when you read the scriptures and study the scriptures out, it really wasn't a sermon on the Mount. And I'll tell you why that's important. If Pastor Red and I, if we're in our office and we're having a conversation, or he's sharing something with me or I'm sharing something with him, it's for us. If you happen to be in the outer office, you might hear some of it. But it's not that we're talking to you. We're talking when sharing things with each other. That's important because when you read the beginning of Matthew 5 in the Amplified Bible, Amplified Classic, Jesus, it says, seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain. And when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Who came to him? His disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them. He taught them. It's important to understand that because what he's about to say next is for his disciples. It's for the ones who are going to be starting the churches. The ones who are going to have the responsibility to spread the word. There's some specific things he needs to say to them to let them know not only expectations, but what they might go through. And he said, blessed, happy to be envied, and spiritually prosperous with life, joy, and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation. And listen to this. Regardless of their outward conditions, are the poor in spirit. He's saying, you're blessed abundantly, regardless of what it looks like. He needs his church to understand that. Why? Because the church will start running after stuff and things. He said, you are blessed regardless of your outward appearance. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit and the humble who rate themselves insignificant, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed and enviably happy with happiness produced by the experience of God's favor, and especially conditioned by the revelation of his matchless grace, are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the happy, blissome, joyous, spiritual, prosperous, with life and joy and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation, regardless of their outward conditions, are the meek, the mild, the patient, the long-suffering, for they shall inherit earth. Doesn't matter if it doesn't look like you can inherit, you know, one room. He said, regardless of the outward conditions, doesn't matter what it looks like, you will inherit the earth. Blessed and fortunate and happy and spiritually prosperous in that state in which the born-again child of God enjoys his favor and satisfaction are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. How many of you hunger and thirst for righteousness? Uprightness and right standing with God? Well, this word says, for they shall be completely satisfied. Completely satisfied. Blessed, happy to be envied, and spiritually prosperous with life, joy, and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation, regardless of their outward conditions, are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Be merciful, and you'll obtain mercy. And it doesn't matter what that person did to you. It says, regardless of outward conditions, blessed, happy. And now he's telling this to those that were going to become the pillars of the church. And he's telling that to us right now. Why? Because we're pillars of the church. Blessed, happy, enviable, fortunate, spiritually prosperous, processing the happiness produced by the experience of God's favor and especially conditioned by the revelation of his grace. Especially, listen to this. Especially conditioned by the revelation of his grace, regardless of their outward conditions, are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And not just physically, you'll see God in everything. Blessed, enjoying enviable happiness, spiritually prosperous, with life, joy, and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation, regardless of their outward conditions, are the makers and maintainers of peace, for they shall be called the sons of God. Makers and maintainers of peace. Okay. Not putting stuff out there online to cause controversy. Makers of peace. Blessed and happy. See, we get so concerned about social issues. What about cancel culture? Who cares? Your culture was canceled when you received Jesus Christ. What you become, they can cancel.
That's right.
Blessed and happy and enviably fortunate and spiritually prosperous in the state in which the born-again child of God enjoys and finds satisfaction in God's favor, regardless of his outward conditions, are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for being and doing right, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed, happy, to be envied, and spiritually prosperous with life, joy, and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation, regardless of your outward conditions, are you when people revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil things against you falsely on my account. Just let's forget about it when they're talking about you. Verse 12, just in the natural, doesn't make any sense at all. It says, be glad and supremely joyful, for your reward in heaven is great, strong, and intense. For in the same way, people persecuted the prophets who were before you. Now, he told them all of these things, and I didn't realize the other day that he was building them up to tell them the real thing. What's that soft drink that claims to be the real thing? Well, you don't need to drink it anyway, so. But he just told them, these are the things you're going to go through. This is who you are. This is what I'm going to do, regardless of what it looks like. This is who you are. This is what I'm going to do, regardless of what it looks like, regardless of what it feels like. Verse 13, you are the salt of the earth. You are. But if salt has lost its taste, its strength, its quality, how can its saltiness be restored? It's not good for anything any longer but to be thrown out and trodden underfoot by men. And as I shared with you last week, how does salt lose its saltiness? You separate the sodium from the chlorine. How does a believer lose their effectiveness? They separate themselves from the Holy Ghost. You separate yourself. And you lose your value. And when I say value, not how much you're worth to God, you're worth to other people. And he sends you to a group of people, and you've separated yourself. You're no longer the salt of the earth. What's going to happen to them? If something doesn't happen soon, they're going straight to hell. If tragedy should befall them. So Jesus, he told them who they were and all the things he was going to do to them regardless of what they go through. And then he says, listen, you are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, that's what I like about the Amplified Classic, because it amplifies it. Its strength, its quality. How can its saltiness be restored? It's not good for anything any longer but to be thrown out and trodden underfoot by men. You are, say I am, the light of the world. If you don't believe me, ask Deacon Shirley. God told her the same thing this morning. You are the light of this world, a city. This is still under the term you are. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. That's letting us know, folks, that we should be in positions where no matter what happens, we are seen. We are highly visible to the smallest detail. What if Pastor Greg folds his glasses like this? To the smallest detail, you're on display. You're out there for people to see. He said, a city set on a hill cannot be hidden. So where did the term closet Christian come from? If I hide in the closet, somebody's going to be in there looking. Because he said a city set on a hill cannot be hidden. So your only choice of being hidden is to get off the hill and go underground. But then you're hidden, you're visible to all the people underground. Nor do men light a lamp and put it under a peck measure, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your moral excellence and your praiseworthy, noble, and good deeds, and recognize and honor and praise and glorify your Father who's in heaven. Matthew 5, 14, 16 in the Message Bible says, this is another way to put it. Now remember, he's talking to his disciples. You're here, he's giving them purpose. You're here to be light. You're here. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. Letting people know there is a God in this world. Bringing out the God colors in this world. There needs to be evidence seen that God is alive and in this world. There needs to be evidence. Jesus said, God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this. As public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a lampstand. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Shine. Say it's shine time. That's the title of the message. It's shine time. He said, I have placed you there on a lamp. I've put this light in you. I've turned it on. You're illumined. I've put you there on a lampstand. Shine. So everybody in the whole house can see it. Some translations say those that see from a distance. Doesn't matter where the person's lost. They're like, I see light over there. And they start moving in that direction. And the closer they get to the light, the brighter it gets. Say, well, I don't know what God wants me to do. Yes, you do. Because his word said, thy word is a lamp unto thy feet and a light unto thy path. All you have to do is follow the light. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives by opening up to others. You'll prompt people to open up to God, this generous Father in heaven. I mentioned briefly to Pastor Red, I was thinking about this, and God said to me, he said, well, you know, actually Christmas is me letting my light shine. And so I started thinking about that. And he showed me that the birth of Christ was God letting his light so shine. He wanted mankind to see his good works and glorify him. You think about it. How did the wise men know how to find Christ? They followed the light. He put the light right there, and they followed the light. It was that simple. See, he followed the light. Familiar passage here, John 3, 16 and 17. I know we can say it backwards in our sleep. Passion Translation. For this is how much God loved the world. He gave his one and only unique son as a gift. So now everyone who believes in him will never perish but experience everlasting life. God did not send his son into the world to judge and condemn the world. God did not, say he didn't do it. He did not send his son into the world to judge and condemn the world, but to be its savior and to rescue it. A couple of years ago, we taught a message on this, on that, and I had life preservers, some of you may remember. And I said, there's someone, you're on a cruise ship, and someone falls off, there's a stack of life preservers next to you, and instead of throwing a life preserver, you're saying, what did you do to fall over that railing? Person's like, oh, well, a stack of life preservers. And you're too busy judging. Not you, but because you'd never do that. But God threw man a lifeline. And all they have to do is grab hold of the lifeline and they'll be saved. God didn't send his son into the world to judge and condemn the world. He didn't create us to be the light of the world to judge and condemn the world. He didn't illuminate us so we could see the evil. He illuminated us, folks, so that the people that are out there sinning can see us living right. The light is to illuminate the good, not show us the bad so we can, don't go near those folks. Bible says have nothing to do with the evil enterprises of darkness. It's not talking about saving people. It's talking about you getting out there and you party. Yeah, yeah. He said he came so that Jesus could be its savior and rescue it. Verse 18, so now there's no longer any condemnation for those who believe in him, but the unbeliever already lives under condemnation because they do not believe in the name of God's beloved Son. John 3:19. And here is the basis of their judgment. The light of God has now come into the world, but the hearts of the people love their darkness more than the light, because they want the darkness to conceal their evil. That, folks, that's significant. They don't want to be judged by doing evil deeds, but they don't know any other way. So the deeper I get into darkness, the less people can see what I'm doing. Not that they don't love God, they don't know that they can, and they don't know that God loves them. So Jesus is telling his disciples, you guys are cities set on a hill that cannot be hidden. Let your light shine so men can see your good works and then glorify God, not try and hide from him. To glorify God. They don't understand. This is what the Holy Ghost said to me. They don't understand the goodness of the light. They don't understand the purity of the light. They don't understand the love that's in the light, the healing that's in the light, the forgiveness that's in the light. They don't understand it because they haven't seen it. They haven't seen it. Why? Because those of us that have the light put this cocoon around us because we don't want to be hurt. But we just read how blessed we would be with his grace, regardless of the outward conditions, if we're persecuted. We just read that. So what difference does it make? The Apostle Paul had to get that revelation. He was focusing on the thorn in his flesh. He was focusing on the people that were being pains in the foot. And three times, he didn't go to God during that period. Nobody, the Bible doesn't talk about anybody getting saved, delivered, set free. It talked about Paul complaining. Take this away from me. And God saying to him, my grace is sufficient. And Paul was like, what was I thinking? Now I'm going to glory in my infirmities. Because when I'm weak, he's strong. Say, when I'm weak, God is strong. I don't know about you, but I'd stay weak. Let God's strength flow through me. But just think about someone, they're so much into darkness and so ashamed of it, they go deeper into darkness so you don't find out. Because they don't know anything else. They didn't know about the little bitty baby. They didn't know King Jesus is his name. They don't know what the heavenly host declared. They didn't know that tiny lad would hold all power in his hand. They didn't know that. We do. And we're supposed to let that information shine so that it reaches every nook and cranny. But when light's put under a bushel, people move deeper into darkness. They can't see. So they figure, since I can't see what's coming, I'm going to get in a place where nobody can see me either. But Jesus was very specific in Matthew, in the Message Bible, Matthew 14 and 16. You're here to be light. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as the city on a hill. I know I read it before. I want to read it again. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Jesus is saying, I'm putting you out there. And now that I've put you out there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Shine. Say, it's shine time. When the world sees our light shining, they have hope. All I need to do is get in the presence of that light, and maybe some of it will rub off on you. All of it will rub off on you. But if the light's not there, there's nothing for them to push towards. So what do? Stay in darkness. Stay in darkness. Genesis 1:26. Understand this. In the Message Bible, verses 26 and 28, we always read this. I inherited it from Pastor Clinton. God spoke, let us make human beings in our image, reflecting our nature. That means whatever the Godhead is, that's what the people ought to see when they see us. Whatever the Godhead does is what people ought to see when they see us. Whatever the Godhead says is what people should hear us say when they come into our presence. We would never say anything that the Godhead wouldn't say, because that wouldn't be reflecting his nature. Ephesians 5 tells us to be imitators of God. Ephesians 5:1 in the Passion Translation says, be imitators of God in everything you do. For then you will represent your Father as his beloved sons and daughters. I remember when our young people were saying, I pound on their chest, I have to represent. Represent what? Represent what? Get out there, represent. Represent what? Represent who? We were made in the image and likeness. The translation said, reflecting his nature. So anytime you look at me, you should be seeing exactly what God is all about. And if you're not, there's something wrong with me. There's something about me that's off kilter. I'm supposed to represent my father as his beloved son. We're supposed to represent his beloved sons and daughters. That's what we're supposed to do. John 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was God. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same Word was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Listen to this, verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. When we hide our life, we are hiding light from this world. Because in us who have received Christ as Savior is life. And the way we live our life becomes the light to all of the unbelievers out there. Why? Because they don't know you can live like this. I didn't know I could live like this before I came to this church. I thought you went to church and was supposed to pick somebody to fight with. Well, when your pastor gets into a fist fight in the middle of the sermon, what else are you going to think? Talk about spiritual warfare. Police call to the church. I remember it like it was yesterday. Three police cars. There wouldn't have been any chairs set up nicely. They were throwing at each other. I'm sitting in the choir loft shaking my head going, these folks are nuts. My thoughts exactly. This Jesus stuff and this God stuff can't be real. And they acting like this? No. And from age 16 to age 34, I stayed away from church and church people. Unless I had an interest in someone who happened to go to a church. I'll go to church with you. But I ain't feeling nothing. No ghost is going to come on me. And if I found out you were born again, I ain't care how fine you were. That worked every occasion except one. Verse 5, it says, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. Then verse 5 says, and the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. That sounds like one of those woo scriptures, but you really need to understand what's being said here. I shared this a year or two ago. Pastor Renner wrote a book. And as I started reading through the book, I came across something on one of the first pages, and I haven't gotten by it, because every time I open the book, I open to that page and sit there and go, wow. When you do a word study on verse 5, and you say it based on strict translation of those words, this is what it says. And the light shined in the darkness, but the darkness simply didn't have the ability to overcome it, take it down, subdue it, or dominate it. That's the power of the light that's in you. So if you let it, what it's saying in essence, nobody can put your light out. Light has total dominance over darkness. Turn to your neighbor and say, light has total dark. Light has total authority over darkness. It says darkness simply doesn't have the ability. It doesn't have the ability to overcome it, take it down, subdue it, or dominate it. Light has full authority. I don't care how long darkness has been around. The moment light shows up, darkness has to leave. And I saw something else. I hope I'm there yet. You can turn to Genesis 1. And it doesn't, but I want you to hear this. It doesn't have to be a big light. It just has to be light. And the darkness is going to have to leave. Whatever the light touches, darkness has to flee. The only way darkness can hang around is if the light leaves. But God has this history of using light to remove darkness and restore things to their proper order. Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was, some translations make it clear, they say the earth became without form and void. And what was upon the face of the deep? Darkness. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. Now, that doesn't mean God was like, ooh, I didn't know light could do that. No, he was observing. And listen to this. God divided the light from the darkness. Why did he do that? You ever think about that? I thought about it. You know why he did it? I don't know. What I do know is that God did not want any darkness or darkness to rule on the recreated earth. So he said, since I've given light authority over darkness, I don't need them intermingled. I'm getting rid of darkness altogether. He separated the two. That's why Jesus had to be born of a virgin. There's no way Christ could have come as the Christ and have light and darkness in him. He could not have the seed from Adam in him, because if he did, he'd have the sin nature and he'd have darkness in him. But the scripture says, and we sing the song, there is no darkness in him. So he had to come by virgin birth, folks, so there could be no darkness in him. Why? Because we're made in God's image and after his likeness, and there is no darkness in God. So there's no darkness, and there should be no darkness in his creation. None. Once Jesus was born, anyone who received him is flooded with life. Remember what we read in John 1? For in him was life. And that life was the light of men. Let me show you another instance of the power of light over darkness. Isaiah 60. First three verses, King James Version. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall rise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen above thee, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. So it doesn't matter how gross the darkness is, when the light shines, the people will come to the light. And the darkness can't do anything. Stop, look at what I gave you. Look at what you can do. I don't have the word no in my vocabulary. But I'm going to say yes to the light and no to any darkness. And Jesus told us, going back to, remember, he's talking, always talking to his disciples. Says John 20, verse 21 in the Amplified Classic, then Jesus said to them again, peace to you. Just as the Father has sent me forth, so I'm sending you. So that means our purpose is to go exactly the way Jesus went. Exactly the way Jesus went. He received everybody. Just as the Father has sent me, so I'm sending you. John 8, 28, Amplified, once more Jesus addressed the crowd. He said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not be walking in the dark, but will have the light, which is life. And he told us that he's sending us the way Father sent him, which means I can say we are the light of the world. He who follows us as we follow Christ will not be walking in the dark, but will have the light, which is life. But they're not going to get it until we get it. Now, I shared this last week, and one of the things that spurred this explosion of thoughts and things about, again, about operating based on who we are and what we have and what we're supposed to do. You know, probably everybody has heard of the Respect for Marriage legislation. And I read some articles, and one of the articles, or two of the articles, were folks that were for that legislation talking about how their exuberance and joy over it becoming law. And this is what they said. And the reason it caught me, because Pastor Clinton always told us Satan uses spiritual principles, because principles work, even if you misuse them. Then why is my life such a mess? Because that's what you keep saying. You're having what you say. We think that only works when we talk about the good stuff. No, it's a principle. It works. Just like gravity. You hang a cotton ball, it's going to fall down. You hang a boulder, it's falling too. No, that's not going to work because it's going to hurt people. No, it's going to operate based on the principle. These are two of the comments that bothered me as a believer because of the principle. One person said, I think one of the things that this has proven is that as people see us and know us, that heart and mind, their hearts and minds change, and that has to continue to happen. Visibility is key to creating change and to creating progress. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. There are people that think that was a good work. Why? They haven't seen the good works. They haven't given glory to God. But the devil knows that principle, folks. But that's not the, that one got me heated. This one got me boiling. This is one well-known advocate said, when you live what you believe, the environment around you will change. Whatever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive it and you will have it. When you live what you believe, the environment around you will change. Well, Jesus said, we're the salt of the earth. Is that what we believe? Don't tell me. Show the people. Or has our salt lost its taste because we've been separated? Faith without works is dead. Separates faith from good works. It's like taking life from spirit, leaving a body. You have a corpse. You are the light of the world. You are. You're not going to become. You've already became. Now you are. You are the light of the world. We need to get back on the hilltop, take the bushel off our heads, and let our light so shine that they see our praiseworthy deeds, which includes loving them even though they're in the midst of sin. Because first of all, that's a reflection of God. Because when we were in the midst of sin, Christ died for us. And let me tell you something. We think we're so smart. And we know who we should talk to and who we shouldn't talk to. And this one's never going to receive anything, so I'm not even going to waste my time. God knows everything, does he not? Yes, sir. So that has to mean that he already knows. And you've heard, some of you heard me say this. He has to already know who's going to receive his son and who's not. And when you come into the room, there's not a sign that says those that are not going to believe are over there. He'll send his best evangelist across their path, knowing they're not going to receive him. He'll send you across their path. No, and you're not supposed to say, I've ministered to them before. I don't want to leave it. No, he knows that already, and he wants you to go. Hoping they'll change their mind, knowing they're not. Why does he do that? Because he so loves us. Why won't we do that? We don't so love them. Let our light so shine that just like the wise men, one translation says, let your light so shine so that it can be seen from a distance. Folks can look around and say, I see hope back there. Let me start going in that direction. And the closer I get to it, it's brighter. Oh no, I really have to get over there. It's brighter. And the closer they get, the more good works they see you doing. And they start thinking, this is the life. I'm going to find this light, and when I get to it, I ain't letting it go. Because this is the life. Say it's shine time. It's light time. I have to find a way to unhook. I'll just say this, and then I'll quit. Two things. Let your light shine in the darkness. And know that the darkness doesn't have the ability to do anything about it. That's backed up by Luke 10:19. God said, I give you power. Physical and mental strength and ability over all the power the enemy possesses. And nothing shall by any means harm you. Nothing. Your light shining will drive any darkness out of the picture. Ladies and gentlemen, it's shine time. That sounds like another shirt. It's shine time. That's like those commercials, those programs. This is a job for Superman. It's, you go someplace, it's shine time. How many of you all watch those Christmas cartoons? Rudolph, the Red-Nosed Reindeer, Frosty. That storm was so thick, Santa Claus said to Rudolph, "All right, Rudolph, full power." But look at the benefit that the fictionary character Rudolph was able to provide when he stopped trying to hide the light. When he took that off his nose and let his light so shine, it was able to see the way through all the darkness. And I'll say, Pastor Carson, we have to go and watch Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. But you understand. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father that's in heaven. And remember everything he said before that. Regardless of the outcome, he's got you covered. Regardless of it. So don't care what they say. Be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Your threats mean nothing to us. Our God will deliver us. The darkness that was in that furnace couldn't touch them. And I don't do it anymore, but I always like to do that MC Hammer can't touch this routine. I don't have the baggy pants. But do you understand, folks? You are the light of the world. You point to yourself. Say, I am the light of the world. I am like a city set upon a hill, and I cannot be hidden. I choose to let my light so shine before men, they're going to see my good works. And they're going to glorify my Father in heaven. And I'm going to be the saltiest person in the neighborhood. Father, we thank you. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. Every bit of our praise goes to you. Thank you for showing yourself strong on our behalf again and again and again and again. Thank you so much, Father, for your hand staying upon us. Your light always guiding us. Thank you for revealing opportunities for our light to drive out the darkness. And we willingly go because we so love you and we so love the people you love. And we thank you that by your Spirit, Father, you'll bring this word, this message that you gave us this morning, back to our remembrance as many times necessary so that we get it. And the only way we know we get it is when we constantly do it. In just like in you was light, in us is light. The same light that's in you. Because God gave it to you, and you gave it to us. And we thank you, Father, as we become sensitive to your promptings, we'll become more skillful in delivering the light. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Light time. Let it shine, shine, shine. Is that little light of yours? can push away some very powerful darkness. And I love it when it says the darkness, it just simply can't do anything about it. It can't. It has to just let it happen. But there's a key to all of this. Your rise shine, for the light has come, but you have to receive the light that came. We choose this time to celebrate the birth of the light here on the earth. But it can only light your path if you receive it. So if you've never received Jesus Christ as Savior, in a moment I'm going to ask you to make a confession, because the Bible says if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and you believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You can say, "Arise, shine, for the light has come." Because the glory of the Lord will be risen upon you. And it has to be that way because Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody gets to the Father lest they come through me." And he doesn't stand there blocking his way like this, looking at you. He's like this. He said, "Just knock, and the door will be opened." So we're going to knock. Why don't you say this? Father God, I believe that Jesus Christ of Nazareth is your Son. I believe he died for my sins, went to the cross, was crucified, was buried in my place, went to hell in my place. And after spending 3 days in hell, I believe, Father, you raised him from the dead. So Jesus, I turn to you and I ask you, come into my heart, come into my life. I turn from my past ways as an act of repentance, and I turn towards you, and I ask you, make something new of me. And it's in your name that I pray. Well, folks, if you made that prayer, you said it, and you believed it in your heart, arise, shine, for the light has come. He's come to you, and you say, "Well, I don't feel any different. I don't know. What do I do next?" You see on your screen, it says, "Contact us." The next thing you do is you contact us. We will send you some free information about the next steps. It'll explain what just happened when you made that confession and what you want to consider as your next steps. And if you don't understand or you need more information, as I always say, use the same contact information and contact me. I'll respond eventually. And I don't say that mean it'll take 6 months. It probably won't be the same day I get it. But I will respond to you. We will. We will. I don't know if I'll be with you here before Christmas. I want to wish you a very merry, blessed, prosperous Christmas. An even better new year. But know this, I don't care what you go through, how many presents you get or don't get, or what. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. And if you read a few verses above it, you just see how blessed you are. And your blessings are not based on how many gifts are under a Christmas tree with your name on it. Amen. God bless you, and we'll see you next time.